Bill Mackay. Good morning.
Kia ora, Catherine.
There's an excellent item on TV One Sunday programme last night. I don't know if you saw it.
I saw that.
Yeah. You are talking also about the water woes, and the takeout from that story was no matter how much water falls this winter, there are going to be big problems next summer. How are you coming at Auckland's water woes?
Yeah, so Auckland gets most of its water from dams in the two ranges, Waitakere, Hinuas, about 80%, but increasingly and controversially, we're looking towards the Waikato River. But what really annoys me is we've had a week of really heavy rain in Auckland and most of the country, but all that great fresh water, it falls on roofs and car parks and streets and roads in our towns and cities. And in Auckland especially, it all gets channeled through gutters where it picks up a bit of rubbish and contaminates from cars, and then we chuck it in the sea. And I think that's a real waste, as well as polluting our waterways. And that's an issue around the country. I think because New Zealand is quite rainy, pluvial, we've got always had quite a casual approach to water supply, even though we use a hell of a lot of it in horticulture, agriculture, industrial processing, all of that sort of thing. But we've had a couple of really dry summers in Auckland in particular, and also, of course, Northland and up and down the east coast of the both islands. And we're in an era of unpredictable climate change now. I think water is going to become even more of a precious resource, as well as being a possible export commodity. I'm not talking about, stupid bottled water here, but, we could fill tankers and sell it to Australians. The government last week announced a really big investment in water infrastructure improvement. That's great, and that's well overdue. And we remember the Hawke's Bay Campylobacter outbreak in 2016. We could look at alternatives in our big cities, like Perth has done, desalination of seawater or recycling wastewater and turning that into drinking water, but they're both expensive. And what we aren't doing in this country, in our towns and cities, is making individual houses and communities more sustainable and resilient, less reliant on infrastructure. And in a country with lots of earthquakes, slips, all sorts of things like that, centralised infrastructure is always vulnerable. And a few years ago, Wellington woke up to the fact that a big, being on the fault line, a big earthquake down there would have a severe impact on the water supply. I think there's something like 3 or 4 water plants in Wellington, whereas Christchurch, even though it went through, massive quake, it had over 50 sources. So there was a little bit more resilience in there. So when you've got a house in town, you're not allowed to catch water off the roof and drink it or cook with it, what we call potable water. But that use is minor. So why don't we catch rainwater ourselves for the major uses, flushing toilets, washing, watering the garden, that sort of thing. And that doesn't mean you need a big hamburger-shaped water tank in your backyard. You can get good rectangular ones that you can tuck down the side in your side yard or something like that. And I grew up in the country, so I'm used to kind of like checking the pump and the header tank and all of that sort of thing. So, we've got the technology and experience to do that sort of thing. Another aspect of water use is what we do with wastewater. And again, we flush it all away. There's two types, foul water that comes out of your toilet and grey water that comes, from your shower or your laundry. And these go off to massive sewage treatment plants. But I did a design for a batch about 10 years ago on a sensitive foreshore site in Manukau Harbour, and we couldn't have a septic tank. They're not very good anyway, because they leach foul water into the ground. But just even a decade ago, we had the technology then to put in either an electric toilet or a composting toilet. And the waste from that, after a few months, you actually just spread on the garden in the same way that you do compost. And there was also the technology to take the urine out of the toilet, combine that with the grey water and run it through a couple of filtration systems, including some planting, reeds, little pond and things like that, and then irrigate the garden with it. So, you know, 10 years later, we've got the technology to make our big sprawling suburbs actually kind of, you know, much more resilient and much more sustainable in the use of their stuff.
And then
the big cities as well. High-rise buildings, you know, I look down, I'm lucky enough to have a little private office on the 30th floor, I look down. There's so much empty space in Auckland on rooftops and things like that. We can catch that water and we can flush toilets with it on the way down through buildings. And this is something that, you know, several buildings already do in New Zealand, but it often gets value managed out through cost cutting. But I would make it compulsory, you know, for a big 30-story building to catch water and use it on the way down. You know, gravity's on our side, and the water falls from the sky, it's all free. So the other thing is the Greens just announced on the weekend photovoltaic panels on houses. And I think that's great too. Ngāti Whātua Housing up in Takapāwhā, that's got big Tesla batteries and photovoltaic panels on the roof. And it's important that we reduce electrical usage too, because a lot of it comes from hydro generation. And again, we're going to start seeing that sort of thing running out, less water off the mountains with climate change and melt. So good on the government for overdue water structure improvements, but let's get more incentives from council and government for more sustainable and resilient buildings in our communities and our own homes.
Actually, we're doing more on those water reforms tomorrow, by the way. Listen,
some detail as to where that is at.
The interesting thing is whether there will be compulsion in order for some of the councils to get the the multi-billions, actually, the government's ready to spend, but it will require reform, and if they opt out of that reform, I don't think they're going to see the money.
But
your point, we've been talking the last couple of days about why doesn't it make sense when you are investing billions of dollars specifically for the point of stimulating an economy that's in trouble, to also get a second bite out of that money to change so many of the ways that we do things. And we always say, oh, it's too expensive.
Yeah.
Well, actually, when the money's being spent anyway, we were talking about passive houses last week, use the social housing development to upskill the industry, to upskill these trainees, getting taxpayer-subsidised retraining to build passive. Why wouldn't we be bringing into our designs the skills also to have at least some water storage in built in our houses?
Yeah.
And completely rethink what a new build looks like.
We are primitive. We've always been primitive in the way we design our houses in New Zealand. And, you know, we know that people come back here, no central heating. They can't believe it. You know, we live in wooden tents and we've got to get away from that mindset.
I mean, yes, there is probably an upfront cost and it's the first thing that gets cut, this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but we know that over the life, both the life of the building, but also the life of the taxpayers' expenditure or the ratepayers' expenditure, you recoup that if you can get it sorted out up front.
Yes, quite agree.
Is anyone actually tasked with looking? Who would be tasked with looking?
Well, a lot of this sort of thing is what we're teaching students to do.
Sure.
And the profession is all for it as well.
Just needs the incentivising.
But it comes down to cost cutting in the end.
Thank you so much, Bill Mackay of the University of Auckland.